This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Hewitt has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Ah, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk. How are you today? We're here on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. What a cool night last night for the Mariners. Random stolen win in Oakland. That one was not supposed to happen. Everything was against them last night, just as everything seems to be against them in general. Like, if this team ever does make the playoffs again, and I don't know if it's going to be this year, next year, whenever, Brock, if this team ever does make the playoffs again, every single obstacle will be thrown in their path in order for them to do it. It's amazing. Like, you've got to be kidding me. They got two more guys. Everybody just keeps getting drilled. They've had four guys injured this year. Well, Cruz twice, but four times this year. Players have been injured by being hit by pitches in the hand, arm, wrist area.
In 2017, you were going to deal with injuries to your pitching staff in biblical proportions, unlike anything Major League Baseball has ever seen. In 2018, I got a little voodoo doll back here, and I don't know who's got it and who's holding it, but I'm going to just put a little pin in just about everybody on your roster, other than Kyle Seager right now, and from Ben Gamel. Think about it. Think about how many guys that you have seen playing. Just about everybody has spent some time on the DL, or already through, you know, not even a third of the season, has dealt with some significant loss of playing time. Cano and Ben Gamel and Mike Zunino and Ryan Healy and D. Gordon, and just go through the list. And then the last two standing, they both get dinged last night.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of laugh.
And I think what makes me not mad, maybe mad, I can't quite tell how I feel about it. I guess I'm trending towards mad, is that a lot of these injuries have been the fault of the other team. Like, it's one thing when you injure yourself. D. Gordon, all right, fine, he hurt his toe. Those things happen. Mm-hmm. Pitchers are going to blow out their arm. Like, those things happen, and maybe they're your fault, maybe they're nobody's fault, but they happen. Cruz has been hurt twice because of the other team. Now, once because he fell down the stairs. That one's definitely on him. You can't cast any blame outside the organization on that. He fell down the stairs, and that's, again, an old man falling down the stairs. Cano, I mean, that's sort of on him. And the injury part's on the other team. The you know, 80 games is going to be on him.
Healy had the, you know, post-game workout
right.
One. That's kind of on
so
us,
some
too.
Of those are going to be on them. But last night, both injuries were the fault of the A's. Haniger was hit on the wrist by a bad pitch from Trevor Cahill. And good on Mike Leake for retaliating. Absolutely. Drill Cano right in the back. Absolutely. And so what if that run came around to score? You ended up winning the game, and you can't just allow your team to get picked on every time. And you know who should get drilled today? The catcher.
Yes.
Dude, you can't block the plate like that
Jonathan
in baseball anymore.
Lucroy, you know better.
That
you
game
are
was,
not a rookie.
That play was specifically taken out of baseball.
Correct.
Specifically taken out of baseball. So that the catcher, it was taken out for your benefit.
Yep.
Not for the runner. It was taken out for the catcher's benefit.
That's right.
So that he wouldn't be a sitting duck getting drilled
yes.
by Gene Segura in this case coming around. Now, I don't know how much damage Segura could have legitimately done to
LaCroix.
LaCroix. But he's coming around. He's got a full head of steam scoring from first on that play.
Yep.
And he is not allowed to drill you even though you are blocking the plate.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be blocking the
That's
plate.
That's exactly right.
So what happened? Segura does the right thing.
Yep.
I mean, personally, I would love to see him slide feet first. But all right, he's had bad legs or whatever. So he dives head first. That is a recipe for hurting your finger, your
yep.
wrist,
your
arm, and in this case, your shoulder. And,
yep.
and I just hope he's able to go out and play tonight. I would be willing to bet he can't.
Yeah, this is one of those you
can't
have.
That's on them.
You cannot have it both ways, catcher. If we're going to protect you and protect you in the pocket, then you cannot stand right on top of the plate and block any opportunity for Segura last night to do anything other than hurt himself. Right? As he's running full speed there and a great job by Root and Blow and crew looking at that last little peek back that he could see the relay was coming. And that's why he's diving head first. He knows it's going to be a bang-bang play, and he's got to do what he can, you know, to try to get his hand and sneak it in there. Well, where LaCroix was, there was no chance. There was no chance other than to sacrifice his body in yeah. that moment, which
so
is exactly what this team has
just
done.
Wrong. I don't know. By the way, text message, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. A lot coming in this morning. Segura should have buried him. No, he shouldn't have. He did the right thing, and unfortunately...
But if LaCroix blocks the plate tonight in that same vein, and he sits there and it's the Vogie train coming downhill at him, you blow him up in all
the
parts.
Has Vogie moved fast enough to call him a train?
I think that's what Danny David Moore called him, the Vogie train. They had all sorts of great sound effects yesterday, dude.
I mean, that's a train that really takes some time to crank up. Like, you really... You've got somebody in the back with a hand crank. Like,
did he get to second twice last night on pass balls?
Yeah, but it's Oakland. A pass ball rolls halfway to the bay. I mean, the foul territory in that park is gigantic.
All I know is it was a wonderful win. It was something they pulled out of, pulled out of nowhere. And for some reason, when this guy, Mr. Heredia, makes plays, I celebrate him, I think, more than any other Mariner.
Segura at first base. He's the go-ahead run. One ball, two strikes on Heredia. Here's the pitch. Swung on, ripped into right field. It's falling fast. It's down. It's rolling towards the wall. Cut off by Fowler. Here comes Segura. He's being waved in around third base. The cutoff throw home on a hop. He slides. He is safe at home. Gene Segura, a head first slide, beating the throw home. Guillermo Heredia has knocked in the go-ahead run as Gene Segura, like a blur around third, steaming home and just beats the throw at home. And the Mariners lead here in the 10th. It is 3-2.
All right, great win. Great call by Gary Hill there last night here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Gee, money all over that.
What are you guys thinking? Is that, like, you're watching the game same as I am. What were you thinking all the way around from first to third?
Once he bobbled that ball,
you were like, he's going to score.
He's going to score.
When he first hit it, I said, oh, that might actually score the run.
Yeah, I celebrate Heredia more than anybody else. There's just a, back to our conversation yesterday, just the joy that he has. And capitalizing on the opportunity in the moment, two great walks, some wonderful at-bats, and he's the guy to deliver and get it done. And once that ball was bobbled, knowing Segura is about the only guy that's going on the roster right now from first that's going to score, I was hoping he was going to get that opportunity. It's exactly what he did.
Text message here says it's the Vogel wagon. I think that's fair.
Yes.
Vogel wagon.
Yeah, Freitas, I'm advocating for Freitas should be the freight train.
The freight train.
He should be the train.
That makes some sense. The Vogel wagon does. I like that. Salk, trending towards mad could be the title of your autobiography. I can own that. That sounds actually pretty good. If I ever do decide one day to write my memoirs.
I mean, I wasn't angry, but I was trending towards mad.
Just trending towards mad.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty fair. I'm willing to buy that. And you know what? The Mariners could buy some of that as well. D. Gordon going to miss 10 days. One of those times where, from everything I heard yesterday, if they had a five-day DL, that would be perfect. But he broke the toe in the great toe. You ever heard it called the great toe?
No, never.
Have you ever heard that?
The great toe. No. What is that?
So no one here has ever heard
of it. I've heard
of great
toe. Morton's toe.
Is it specific to D. Gordon just because he's so fast, all of his toes are great?
I don't think so. I don't think that's
I like that theory.
All right. Well, anyway, he broke his right great toe, which I think is the same as the big toe. Mm-hmm.
D. Gordon's so great that it's probably a more apt description.
Well, he's been playing on it since Toronto.
All his toes are great.
This happened in Toronto. He's been playing on it for over a week, and unfortunately, it looked like it was getting worse, not better. So they got to get him off his feet. The understanding is that he'll be ready to go in a week. So, all right, 10 days later, you get D. Gordon back. You're already one day into that. Actually, a couple of days into it, right? Because he ends up being retroactive with a day off in between. So this comes back to a little of what we were saying yesterday, though, Brock. When you're talking about energy and you're talking about the way you play the game, and I brought up Jacoby Ellsbury and running around, like you're going to end up with some nicks and scratches along the way.
Yep.
And so to see D. Gordon hit a 10-day DL stint, that's probably not going to be the last one in his Mariner career.
No, and they're going to have to continue to just kind of claw and continue, in Scott Service's word, to battle, which is exactly what they did last night.
Really proud of our group. The guys are fighting and clawing and finding a way to hang in there. Cahill was really good tonight. Obviously, had a good sinker. But Zeno got a good swing at it. Gives a chance to tie the ball game up. But the key to this run we've been on has been our pitching. I think that's, people kind of goes under the radar here. But Mike Leake was really good tonight. 6 2/3. Their bullpen's been outstanding.
So is Pazzo. So is Vincent. And Eddie Diaz comes in and with his league-leading, 16th save of the season. So he continues to do it. And I'll say this.
By the way, it's a really interesting outing for Diaz. I mean, he nearly gives up the home run on the pretty good fastball up. Yeah. The at bat before that, he threw a hanging slider that he completely got away with on a 1-2, 0-2 or 1-2 count, and then came right back to the slider. And I just thought that was great.
Filthy.
Came right back to the slider and ended up working. Buried it in the dirt for strike three. So,
and by the way, speaking of battle, Kyle, Service was legit last night.
Oh, I was buying that. That was legit.
I mean, if we're going to call him out with his little fake hat toss and everything else, that you got to give him his due when he comes out there after he'd been ejected, and he was giving that up his...
Puts the Mariners in an interesting spot in terms of where they go from here. They've got some really big decisions to make over the course of the next month or so, and I think there's one that they've got to start with. We'll talk about that coming up in 20 minutes. Before we do it, 7:10, time for Need to Know.
need to know. The voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, the injury bug, it's just attached itself to the Mariners, and it just keeps sucking away like a tick. D. Gordon placed on a 10-day disabled list with a fractured great toe. Apparently, that's the medical term. That's what the texters are saying. Then last night, Mitch Haniger left the game after getting hit in the wrist. Gene Segura banged up while scoring all the way from first base on the game-winning run. Well, he was able to stay in the game. We'll see if he can go tonight. Outfielder Jason Worth may very well be on his way up. And get this. Nelson Cruz is offering, and according to Shannon Dreyer, threatening to play the outfield tonight if they need him.
Good.
Appreciate the offer, Nelly. Why don't you DH?
Good.
I think I'd rather see Vogel back in right than that.
Wasn't the slogan good? What wasn't that kind of good?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, that's not good. I don't want to see that. I'd rather see Vogel back at first and Healy in the outfield. I don't want any part of Nelson Cruz running around.
Well, you know what? It is good, 28-19 and just one game back of Houston in that loss column. It is truly remarkable with what this team has endured. We've said this now through nearly 2 months of the baseball season, that sometimes out of tremendous adversity, and this team has continued to see it. Last year it was on the pitching staff, and this year it's with their everyday players and with their lineup. Out of adversity can spring some real opportunity and some real fruit, which is exactly what this team has taken advantage of. They're remarkable. That's a game that they don't win over the last few years. And I don't know how many times I've said this in this segment at 710 of need to know of this Mariners season. That is a game they don't win in years past, and they're finding ways to get it done in 2018.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
I don't say it because of the win last night. I don't say it because they're 28-19 and one game behind Houston right now for first place, at least one game in the loss column. I say it because it's time. The Mariners need to extend Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais. And we'll talk specifically about Jerry DePoto today. Maybe we'll talk more about Scott Servais tomorrow. But there's two reasons why I believe this. One, it's what he's done. The deals he's made, the system he's built, the devotion to a specific identity that he's looking for, the culture that has been built by both guys. And I love the hiring of Scott Servais. I think that's a big reason to extend Jerry DePoto. But it's more than what they've done and where they are. It's also what they are going to do. In the next month or two, they're going to need to make some other really big decisions. They're going to need to use that $12 million to acquire players if they're going to go for it and go for the wild card and or maybe even first place in this division. And I think you've got to have somebody in place long term in order to do that. And if it doesn't work, and if this team ends up dropping 15 out of 20 or 20 out of 25, something bad happens to them, well, then you know what? You've got to sell. You've got to be able to make a decision to blow this thing up. And I would like to see Jerry DePoto, somebody who's already familiar and already, you know, part of this organization, empowered to go do that in the next couple of months to finish out this year. So I think right now is the time to extend Jerry DePoto.
Well, here's what you need to know. You can read all of Salk Sots, 710sports.com. He put pen to paper, and I think there's a good conversation to be had. I say to you many times that players will make the decision for coaches. The level of trust and just the level of responsibility, level of production that they find. I'm going to make this decision for you, coach or manager. You're not going to keep me out of the lineup. You're not going to keep me off the field. Well, equally, those general managers and the manager, the skipper of this club are going to make the decisions for the president of the front office. Do you believe in me? Do you believe in the overall plan of where this thing is going? And right now, you know, goodness gracious, you've got to believe in the trajectory, in the trust, in the goodwill that this team has for one another and finding, as I said earlier, unique ways to win night in and night out.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, here's some real good news. NHL Board of Governors will meet on June 20th in Las Vegas. They are expected then to grant conditional approval for an expansion franchise here in Seattle. None of this should be a surprise. We have expected this for quite some time. But this is awesome. I mean, each step along the way is cause for celebration. It's weird that there's not just one big moment. I guess that one big moment will come when they open up the new arena, they drop the puck for the first time, and we get to see the new Seattle team. But I'll tell you what, I'll celebrate each one. This is fantastic news that this will happen.
Yeah, here's what you need to know. You rewind the tape back, I don't know, 15, 16 months ago, when Lywicki came in here the first time and said, this is the plan, this is the operation, this is the timeline it can be. If we work this process with the city, if we work this process with the league, here's your check marks where you can look at it. And I'll tell you, unlike so many of these developers, so many of these money guys over the last decade or so that made promises that could never be kept, just about every one of those on the timeline has been fulfilled. And yeah, this is the biggest yet. In less than a month, You're going to expect the NHL Board of Governors to approve the expansion of this franchise.
All right, there you go. Three things you need to know every day at 7:10. We'll have some Mariners tickets to give away today. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour, so stick around for those. They're for the big Sandlot game that's coming up here. You know, we'll explain and go a little bit more in-depth in the Jerry DePoto-Scott Service conversation. We'll open it up for you guys to weigh in right off the bat. There's a bunch of text messages coming in here on that, 7:10, 7:10 on both sides of the ledger.
And a pretty big conversation with one member of the show.
Yeah, someone's going to need to have a not quite an intervention, but certainly a serious conversation.
Yep.
I think that will go down.
Family business, we call it.
A little bit later on this morning. So it's going to be a pretty packed show. We'll start it off with the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Saul.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus. A wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Busy morning.
Very busy morning. Certainly busy here and a lot going on. Mariners, great win last night. And we're going to be talking today about whether or not to extend Jerry DePoto and then Scott Service as well. So we have a lot of baseball to talk today. You, of course, are still at the owners' meetings. They seem to be heading towards a really dumb idea with the anthem. What is going on?
Well, there's a smart idea that's been brewing, but I don't know if it's going to have enough votes. The smart idea is to take the players out of the equation, put it like it was before 2010, where the players aren't on the field. But it looks like they've got four or five different proposals, and the one that may get voted on is the one that you now leave it up to the teams to make the decision on what you want to do. But do you have the players that are protesting? They have to stay in the locker room. And if they go on the field and try to kneel or show some kind of a symbol of problems, then the team gets fined. Maybe not the player gets fined. And, of course, I would imagine if that happens, if the team has the choice, then they may fine the player. I don't like that idea. I think that, they can say, and I know a couple owners I was talking to yesterday said, well, if we just take away and go back to the old rule, then that's political. Well, what would you rather have, the political thing of ending this and not having it be a problem, or the constant week in and week out, okay, who's there, who's not there, who do we got to count, is there a reason for this, do we have to chase it? I mean, agreed. To me, take the politics out of the game.
Well, you said a very busy morning. These owners are getting a lot done, John. What have they already approved and what is on the horizon?
Literally 5 minutes ago, and they're just starting the press conference, they voted in two Super Bowls, New Orleans and Arizona. New Orleans for 2024, Arizona for 2023. And the way that they did it, I think, is very bad news for Seattle getting a Super Bowl, because this is the first year, and New Orleans was the one that came up with this idea, because this is what they do for the Final Four now and a couple other major things. They say, listen, we got hotel reservations booked for 4 years. If you want us, and I know you want us, just come to us and tell us when you want us, and we'll set the thing up, we'll negotiate, and then you make the offer to us. If we say no, then you bring in somebody else, and then there's open bidding. So New Orleans is now part of the regular rotation. Arizona is part of the regular rotation. You know, Vegas, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, probably Miami, and maybe another city will be part of the rotation. Unless you build a new city, it's going to be hard to crack that and be able to get in. Maybe Indy can squeeze one in. Maybe you can get one every 10 years. Bad news for Seattle and trying to get one in the future.
Hold on, did you say a new city, like a Sim City, like a Salt City, or a new stadium?
New stadium. Yeah, if you build a new stadium, then you'll get one, and maybe you'll get two, because that's just going to be the price that you'll put in for the acceptance of trying to get the money. But yeah, if you get a new stadium.
But at the same time, and you kind of got me going on this, and I've been talking to my friends over at Visit Seattle, and I'll be talking more to the Seattle Sports Committee about this, Seattle Sports Council, which is, all right, fine, if you can't have the Super Bowl here, and I guess I can accept that, the draft should be a no-brainer in Seattle.
Agreed.
And so, walk me
Nashville
through again
got
what
the
that
2019 draft. They just voted that in moments ago. And so, yeah, you can try to get the draft. And then maybe out of that, see if you can talk yourself into, the 1 in 10 year scenario for a Northern Super Bowl. Because I know the Sports Commission is very interested in doing that. And I know they've done a lot of work on that. But the way that they have it set up now, and again, if a city says no, then it's open bidding, then you can get in there. But if you can set it up so that you can get that yes or no vote, yeah, that'll be fine. But understanding there's now going to be a bigger rotation with Vegas, Los Angeles, Miami getting back. Actually, you could say Miami, but it's actually Miami, Tampa Bay, yeah. You know, kind of a Florida rotation.
Well, you school with your school podcast, you taped with Al River on the head of officiating for the NFL. And obviously he was a busy guy yesterday as he was laying out kind of the new rules. And do you have a pretty good grasp, John, of what this is going to look like in 2018?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, it's not as bad, but still not, it's still hazy on the helmet rule. I mean, I think the one adjustment that they made was pretty good is that, you know, they're only going to review what they think could be a play on an official that ejects a player, and see if they should overturn that. So in other words, the ejections are not coming from New York. And there was only like about three or four plays last year where they thought there would be an ejection on a helmet hit. So that's not going to be as bad. Still kind of worried about the lower the helmet, you know, as far as the penalties, that's still going to be a little bit shaky. On the kickoff rule, you know, if this is going to be it for the kickoffs, I think it's not going to be too bad because the big thing is spacing and also, you know, the speed. And they're taking down the speed of the players by not having the running start. You know, you're going to have three returners most likely back there. So like for Seattle, you've got Lockett, Penny, and another guy. And that gives them a little bit of room to run, knowing that you have eight guys blocking at the 50 and then 11 guys running down, and they're not going to be as fast. That may give Lockett the chance to get past the 27-28 yard line, yeah, if they can do that. So that, I think, is not as bad for Seattle. You look at Sebastian Janikowski, usually 50% of his kicks are touchbacks, a little less than 50. And so I think that they could be okay. So this team may benefit. They have fast players that can run on special teams. That could help.
Tell you know who they should put back there as the third guy is DJ Fluker. I think that would be pretty effective. Let the big fella back there.
You will not
loose.
See an offensive lineman, or you will not see a defensive lineman
that's
on the
bad.
Field for any.
Well, that's too bad. It seems like a good spot for him. Just put him back there with Penny and Lockett, and let the big man loose. I don't know why you got to hold him back, man.
You wonder why sometimes people text you the things they do.
Let the big fella loose.
They think you're serious.
They do? No, they don't. Nobody could think that. Wildcard time.
Time now for the wild card. Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton, do you believe more in ghosts or aliens?
Oh. I think I probably believe more in aliens. I mean, the ghost thing is, you know, I guess I believe in aliens more, even though it's like the alien debate has been longer or as long as the ghost debate. But again, the ghost debate's like so old right now. And of course, I don't know. I mean, I obviously grew up watching Casper and all that and liking Casper and all that. But
friendly
I don't know if I've really been into too many haunted places that you
all
can
John,
really
let
think
me
about
ask
ghosts. Where aliens, you just don't know.
It's easy to say that. But let me put you in a hypothetical and tell me what you would say then. Because I was the same way. I would say that I believe in aliens more than I believe in ghosts. But you put me in a farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere that gets super creaky in the middle of the night, and I'm by myself, then ask me again which I believe in, and ghosts is the clear answer.
And I think this is an idea of location and geography, because I think if you spend enough time as you did in the Boston area, you're going to have more of a belief in ghosts because
really?
It's a lot of older type places to
yes.
go to.
That's
where I grew up in Pittsburgh and then moved out here in 86. And so it's like, okay, so you're going to believe more in the aliens because, I mean, how many places in Seattle where you really start to think
I don't
ghosts?
Isn't there a whole Seattle
Boston,
haunted tour?
I think there's more places.
Yeah. There's a whole tour about Seattle being haunted.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting question. John, enjoy the owner's meetings. We'll talk to you tomorrow. All right, John with us, of course, every day at 7:15. His show will start at 10 o'clock, and then you'll hear him with Danny Dave and Moore every day at 4 o'clock.
One thing about the NFL, man, they move. They move. I know.
But this idea is dumb, right?
Yeah.
It's really dumb.
You just keep them in the locker room.
Or get out of this business entirely and let them do whatever they're going to do.
Yes.
It didn't hurt you that badly last year. You hurt yourself worse by continuing to point at it and make it a bigger deal.
Yeah, if you're in between in anything, and this probably will lead to the next conversation we have. If you're in between on anything, you're going to lose.
But isn't this why we were saying yesterday and having that conversation with John about the arrogance and ego that is in that room when all 30 owners are 32 owners are together?
Well, there's no shortage of arrogance and ego of owners, of players, of coaches, of just about anybody.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, and I think there's probably an issue there. All right. Here, the listeners do not think Salk is serious, Brock. We also don't think he's funny. He should stop trying comedy. It's not working. All right. That's enough out of everybody today. I'm sick and tired of being everybody's punching bag around here.
Trending to anger.
Here's what I'm going to do. Instead of being your punching bag, instead of trying to be funny, I'll give you a serious point, and we'll open it up for you guys as well. It's time for the Mariners to do something. It's time to extend Jerry DePoto and then Scott Servais. We'll discuss next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
The 3-2 swung on and blasted to left field. This is crushed. Looking up is Canna. Nothing he can do about this. It is gone. Two-run blast. Mike Zunino onto the walkway in left field. That was hammered. And we are tied in Oakland. It is 2-2. A big blast from Mike Zunino.
Sure was. Line drive, home run, just showing how strong that guy is. Nice home run for Mike Zunino, helping the Mariners come back from a 2-0 deficit. They eventually win it in extra innings last night and find themselves now 9 games over .500, 2.5 up in the wild card, and just a game in the loss column behind Houston right now. It's crazy. Playing some good ball despite all the injuries. And we'll wait and see today what happens with Mitch Haniger and Gene Segura. Both guys have, you know, injured in some way last night. Haniger had to leave the game after being hit in the hand by a pitch, and Segura had to was able to stay in but needed help off after colliding with the catcher at home plate, hurting his shoulder. So we'll wait and see what happens with those two guys. In the meantime, I'm here to tell you this today, Brock. It's time to extend first Jerry Dipoto and then Scott Servais. Both guys entered the third year of their deal this year. Lame ducks, which is rare in baseball. It is rare to see a manager or a general manager in the final year of their contract. But they both did that. They both took sort of an unusual step of entering the year, and I give them both credit for not complaining about it publicly, for not making a stink about it. You may remember a few years ago, Jim Riggleman was the manager of the ex-Mariners manager, but at the time he was with the Nationals. He walked away. Yeah. Rather than be a lame duck manager, just said, nope, I'm not even going to do this. I don't want any part of it. If you don't feel good enough about me to give me an extension, I'm not going to even try to manage the team without the support of upper management. Forget it. I'm out.
Yeah.
Scott Servais was the happiest person in spring training this year. When everybody doubted his team, when everybody looked at it and said, you don't have enough pitching, you don't have enough this, you don't have enough that, he smiled and was the happiest, most confident guy at spring training this year. And right now, and it doesn't mean it's going to play out forever, right now it is playing out exactly the way he had hoped it would, short of a couple of injuries.
Yeah.
So I give them a lot of credit for first that. But if you're going to make a decision to extend, especially a general manager, you've got to make it on two ways. One, based on what he's done, and two, based on what he's going to do. And I think in both cases, I would right now trust Jerry Dipoto. And it's not easy. This is not obvious. Mm-mm. There's a bunch of text messages and tweets right off the bat that say, Salk, you're nuts. Mm-hmm. What has Jerry Dipoto done to the farm system? Has he done enough to deserve an extension? Has he made the playoffs? And by the way, all of those are good points.
Yep.
Howdy, if you're going to be an annoying gnat here and pick at my heels on this one, I'm not even really going to be able to argue with a lot of the points.
No, you're not.
Because Jerry Dipoto's not been perfect. He had a really tough assignment when he came in to try to clean this up, and he has not done a perfect job of doing so. There's some things I agree with and some things I don't. But in general, I like the deals he's made. I like what he's done, and I think the Segura-Haniger deal and the D. Gordon deal are both A-plus trades right now for the Mariners, and some of the others are everywhere in between. I think what he's done in the draft remains to be seen. We haven't seen the fruits of that yet because a lot of them were young guys, and unfortunately, Kyle Lewis has been hurt. But I think what he's done to build culture, what he's done to build an identity, and specifically what he did with the manager and Scott Servais, I think all of those were excellent decisions, and he's about to have to make some other big ones.
Yeah.
In the next month or two and leading up to the trade deadline this year, if they are winning, they need to go for it. And if they are winning, they've got to find ways to make deals without giving up major prospects because they don't have a lot to give up. Now, they have some money to spend, which is great, and that's going to be increasingly valuable the later into this season it goes. But if they can take on some of these contracts that are out there, Brock, you're going to need somebody with some creativity to get that done. I think Jerry Dipoto has that in spades. You're also going to need somebody who is willing to make the decision to sell if they have to do that too. And if this goes the wrong way and these injuries pile up and they're some of the runners in scoring position luck that they've had or this run differential starts to work against them, well, then at that point you're going to need to blow this up because you cannot desperately try to compete if you are not good enough to do so. And if that's the case, you better have an organization in place ready to do it. You're not going to do it with an outgoing general manager. You're not going to allow the guy that you think is on his way out to sell. And you're not going to bring in somebody new mid-season to do that. So if that's the case, extend them now.
So I'm really torn on this. I'm not going to be an annoying little gnat. I'm not going to just be Mr. Negative guy. And there should be plenty on that side of it that we'll hear from here when these phone lines open up in about 15-20 minutes.
We'll open them up now if you guys want to jump in. 206-421-3776, but more so at 8 o'clock.
I'm just most torn on this because I just do not want to be a prisoner of the moment. I don't want to make any decision. And, you know, it's the one thing you hear all the time from anybody in management or that's been in business, that you just need to separate your emotion from the business of it.
Agreed.
And I think right now this has been such an incredible 2 months, right, to watch these guys. Everything we talked about yesterday of the culture and the fun and the energy. And I don't know if you were poking fun at me last night in our little work email.
I was.
Yeah, of course you were, because you hashtag trend towards anger. But, yeah, no, Mike, I still saw some energy last night. I still thought, like, someone's going to get a big hit and win this sucker.
You did during the first six innings?
Sure.
They looked dead.
Yeah, no, I still
they
thought.
Rolled over and they looked awful. They hit ground balls.
I thought somebody was going to get on base. All when right. They got out of that bases loaded jam and nobody outs and gave up one run, I was like, okay, they're going to win this thing. They're going to get on base. Somehow, some way, they're going to win this thing. And somehow, some way, we're going to see some of this fun, some of this team, some of this joy and everything else that we have seen over the first 2 months of this season.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know if I can make this decision. I can't. I'll tell you right now. I'll eliminate I don't know. I can't make this decision today. I need to see the rest of the course of this season play itself out. I don't want to be a prisoner.
I don't think you can put Jerry Dipoto in a position to succeed without giving him more time. And here's the good news. And I feel pretty strongly about this. You could still fire him. Like, you're not talking about so much money that you can't just eat it at the end. I mean, if you made a decision to give him a 3-year extension now, and at the end of the year you decided, or in a year and a half in, you decided, okay, I guess I screwed up, it's time to use somebody else. So you fire him and you eat a year and a half of a GM salary. You're a baseball team. Yeah. You eat a couple million dollars for breakfast.
But it's not
Who cares?
About the money. It's not about the salary. It's about the direction.
But the direction means that you've got to trust him, Brock, to do what he's got to do this year.
Okay, and that's why I'm torn. Because I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but you know what I don't want to be? The last 17 years, where I have been nothing but in between. Where I had a GM, but that GM fired three managers. Mm-hmm. Or had one just simply walk away from it. Right? Where then I went through a couple general managers. Where I went through that general manager, went through a couple managers. Like, there could be something pretty darn incredible with two guys that have a very unique relationship in baseball between Service and Dipoto. A very unique relationship. Where Scott worked under him and worked in a front office.
In
and
a place where organizations can be torn apart by the fights between managers and general managers.
Yes.
Look, Jerry Dipoto brings a couple of skills to the table that I love. One is his creativity, and one, I guess, is just his sheer intelligence and work ethic. John Stanton, on with us, mentioned both.
The one thing you can't differentiate, that we can differentiate, is by having the smartest general manager in baseball. And I think we've got him. I think Jerry Dipoto makes great decisions, incredibly creative and facile mind. He comes up with, you know, a number of great thoughts and ideas. And so I know your colleagues, I don't know if you view them as competitors, yesterday afternoon that talked to Jerry. But Jerry really is the guy who makes that call. Jerry brings, you know, on big deals, he brings them to Kevin Mather. And on some of those bigger deals, they involve me and I always involve at least one of the other owners, but Jerry's the guy who makes that call.
He's creative and he's smart. And those are two things I think you're going to need here to go forward. 206-421-3776. See if we can grab a call or two quickly. Grab Dan, or Don, is in Seattle. Don, what would you do?
I renew them both. I mean, think about it. This is Jerry. Last year, what they did was unbelievable. We all want to, you know, we want to ignore it, but they had to use more pitchers than anybody in the Major League Baseball. Jerry's put a team together with no minor league system. Mm-hmm. We actually have some guys in the minor leagues now. They're not prospects or suspects, but they have experience. You know, the Andrew Moores, guys like that are in Double-A. At least they've played in the big leagues. So they're redoing the minor league system, which was obviously considered very, very poor. They kept them afloat last year. They're 9 games up right now. Having Segura and Haniger, two potential all-stars in a trade like that, with what they've done with Gordon, it's just, in professional sports, people are too reactionary. You just want to get rid of somebody and when it doesn't go, I think you guys use the word perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect.
Yep.
And then you have Stanton on telling you, right, that you have the smartest general manager in baseball. There's no way they're letting that guy go.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Thanks for the phone call, Don, and we'll take a whole bunch more of these. 206-421-3776. Text message, are we sure they are not already extended? Yes. Neither one of them has a contract for next year. I can tell you that definitively. As of right now today, neither of them has a contract for next year. So what would you do? 206-421-3776. We'll dig into a lot more of your calls coming up here in the next 20 minutes, right after Coors Light's Blue 42. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready? Right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, Coors Light's Blue 42 is three good football questions with Brock, and it's every day at 7:45. We'll get right back to these full phone lines as well. Looks like one line might be open, 206-421-3776. We talk about a possible extension for Jerry DePoto, and we'll do that in great detail coming up in 15 minutes right at 8 o'clock. Get your little football fix going, though, right now, Brock, and let's start here. We'll bounce back to the Seahawks in a second, but can I start in Oakland, where John Gruden traded yesterday for Christian Hackenberg, the quarterback? What's he up to? What's he doing?
Yeah, he's up to some reclamation projects, which is both good and bad. A lot of the league is laughing at him. A lot of the pundits are out there like, what a joke show. I can't believe you're bringing in some of the worst players statistically at certain positions. And when he kind of scoffed at all the sabermetrics out there and all the analytics guys and said, oh, we've got ours in-house, and basically said, yeah, we got guys that can fill up the water bottles and do that. I mean, he kind of peeved a lot of the folks in that statistical community. So they're laughing at a lot of the moves that he's made with some journeymen that he brought in, with some older guys. But you know what? When you look back actually on his run in Oakland, you know what he did? He took on reclamation projects like Rich Gannon. That wasn't very highly thought of around the league, and he got the very most out of him. And Tim Brown and Jerry Rice were older players that he got the most out of in many of those situations. So he's doing what he knows. And that is to look at a talent, have a real conviction about it, doesn't really care what other people think, pretty hard-headed in that way. Led to a Super Bowl in Oakland, some troubles at the end in Tampa Bay, and a lot of the pundits out there laughing at him right now. I'm not. I'm curious to see. He will be all in. He will be totally invested. He's going to have to adjust to a new game and a new set of rules when it comes to practice. But, I'm buying his conviction and what he believes in.
All right, question number two. It's always going to be this split among Seahawks fans between how much they should run the ball and how much they should throw the ball. And I know there are those out there that clamor for more Russell, more passing game. But I'll tell you what, I don't know that they could have thrown it much more than they did last year. This number came out, adjusted adjusted attempts, essentially.
Correct.
This is what, a percentage of plays run. And the Seahawks threw it as much as anybody in the NFL.
They were number one, actually.
How come?
Because they couldn't run. Because Russell was the only thing that could run. And you saw, unfortunately, affect everything. It affected their defense. It affected their play-action game. It affected their short yardage ability. It affected their red zone run ability. It affected everything. And that's why, you have got to start to change those numbers. And they made a total commitment to it and a total overhaul that we've talked about, I don't know, Mike, 100 times since the end of the season. It started with the staff. It started then with free agents. And then it ended with the draft and a first-round pick at running back. So they will hope, and they have to, Mike, move way down that list when it comes to their passing attempt percentage next year. When they were in their heyday, they were right with the 49ers as the most run-heavy team in the league. They got to get back to those numbers, not where they were a season ago.
All right, question number three. OTAs continue this week. No pads, of course, at this. Well, how much evaluating can actually be done by the coaching staff? Because you got a lot of people out there, and you're trying to figure out who's going to make this team.
Yeah, there's more than Bobby Wagner believes in. Bobby joined us on Monday, and we asked him kind of point blank about, hey, man, how do you judge these guys? And do you remember his answer? Like, yeah, pads ain't on.
You can't.
I adjust very little. In fact, here was the all-pro middle linebacker with us.
You don't gauge them until you put the pads on. But you get to know them as a person. You learn them as a person. You try to figure out what gets them going, what motivates them every day, because you got to be motivated to come in here and do what we do. You're going to be challenged out there. How do you kind of react to challenges and things of that nature? And then, when the pads come on, then it's, okay, can you play?
Stick with me here, because I think I got a decent little analogy. Bobby Wagner's right. For him and for players, all about the end game. Put the pads on, man. All about the end game. All about the home stretch of a 400-meter race. You ever run a 400-meter race? Yeah, I ran one in junior high. Like, I came up midway through, this may surprise you, like a hip flexor at about the 250-meter mark, and that was about it for my opportunity to run the 400 meters. But players are like, yeah, give me the home stretch. Let me see what you got then in the tank. That's what wearing the pads are. The coaches, when they got to learn the learners, they're also looking at the first 300 meters. How quickly do you pick up the material, man? How coachable are you? How committed? How early are you? How late do you stay? and then instinctively, you know, yes, the pad's on. You know, that's the manhood test. That's the teammate test. That's what Bobby's looking for. When the pads come on, are you going to rise to the occasion? But for the coaches, I think there is a lot of learning to do. I think there is a lot of studying to do. I think there's a lot of just football IQ and then just that football instinct that they will absolutely be gauging as much as they can over the course of the next couple weeks.
I love it. Good stuff. Good answer. Today's Coors Light's Blue 42. Of course, we do that every day right at 7:45. All right, here's where we're at. We got some phone lines buzzing here. Want to see if we can get to as many of your calls as possible. Mariners again tonight at Oakland, 7:05 start. Pregame show, of course, will be at 6 here on 710 ESPN Seattle. A great win for them last night. It's 4 in a row, but that's not why I say it today. I say it because of more about what's to come than about what's happened. But I think it's time to extend Jerry DePoto. And by extension at that point, I think it's time to extend Scott Servais. And I think it's time for them to do both those things and to do it here in the next month. So I'd like your thoughts on it. 206-421-3776. Got some text messages in both directions. Got some calls at once. We'll dig into those next on Brock and Salk.